Today's daf is Kuf Zayin, and we got up to Vada tonight. So yesterday we learned about the Mikorot for the din in the Mishnah, that you're mechuyev separately for Shchute Chutz and for Halas Chutz. We learned the Mikor of the Rabbanon who argue with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and they say that you're chayev also for both, even if you started with Shchute Chutz. You're also chayev on Halas Chutz. As opposed to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who holds, you're chayev only if you were shechet bifnim in hela b'chutz on halah. And of course, you're chayev on shchute chutz if you were shechet b'chutz, but you cannot be chayev on the halah of something that was shechted b'chutz because it was already pas. The Rabbanan found a separate limud for that halacha as well, so that you would be chayev whether the shchita was bifnim or whether the shchita was b'chutz. So you're chayev on halahs, Chutz of Muktarim b'chutz as well as Muktarim b'fni is the way that we put it yesterday. Now today, we want to know also the broader issues, which were the question of the Zrikas Hadam and how we learned out the Zrikas Hadam and how that affects our other limudim. Now, let us therefore move from yesterday's sugya to what is coming up in the Mishnah later. V'haditznat. Later on in the Mishnah, we learn that hazorek miktzat amim b'chutz chayav. You're chayav even for zrikas hadah. So far we've been able to understand how it is that you're chayav both for shrita and for halah separately. How do I know that even if I would be zorek a little bit of dam b'chutz, I would be chayav? What's the mokar? The mokar is from this brayta. Dam yechasheva isha la isha. Remember, we learned this yesterday. We went over the psukim. So dam yechashev, dam shafach, means to tell me, l'rabot hazorik, that you chayev even just for zrikas hadam, so says Rabbi Yishma. Rabbi Akiva Aymer, since it says the lashon in the iser of Ha'Allah, it talks about not just the Ha'Allah, but it says, Asher Yaleh Ola Ozavach. This Ozavach, what is that coming to include? That's coming to tell me that you're chayev for any element of the Zvicha, which requires also the Zrika Sadan. And that's where we learn it out from. And what does Rabbi Yishmael do with that pasuk? Ayo Ozavach my Avidle. Rabbi Shmuel says, that's coming to tell me, l'chalik, that you would be chayiv separately if you brought just a carbon oila or just a carbon shlomi. Like this, I would have thought that you would bring only oila vizavak. But if you tell me ozavak, it's coming to add that even if it was one or the other, you would be chayiv. That's always called l'chalik, like we had on Shabbos, l'chalik b'mlachot. And how does Rabbi Akiva know that you're chayev on each type of carbon, even if it's not all of them? He learns that out from the word ve'el petach ohel moed lo yevienu. Lo yevienu is a lashon yachid. He won't bring it. So obviously a single one would be sufficient. So why doesn't Rabbi Yishmael learn it from there? Ah, because that he learns, lo yevienu, comes to identify what it is that you're being makriv, which means only if it is what it was. That is to say, that it's sholem, ala shalemu chayav, veino chayav al hachaser. So if something happened to it on the way, and therefore, now exactly what this the halacha is about this we're going to wait until we actually get to the Mishnah tomorrow and to learn it. But so it could mean that you have to bring the entire carbon. I mean, could mean you have to bring the entire aver. It could mean you have to at least bring an entire kizayit. That's a machlokas. But in any event, how exactly does Rabbi Akiva know that? Rabbi Akiva says, because it also, besides lo yevi eno lashon yachid, it also says, v'petach omer lo yevenu la'asot oto. Oto is another lashon yachid, and it's not coming to tell me, therefore, l'chalek or anything like that. It must be coming to tell me, as it was. That's what it is that you're bringing. And therefore, if it's chaser, then you're not going to be chayev. So then why didn't Rabbi Yishmael learn it from there? Because Rabbi Yishmael says, you're absolutely right, I could learn it from there, but I need the din of sholem, that Einu Mechayev al Achaser, both for Korbanos that were shechted bifnim and are brought b'chutz, and then they were chaser only after we were makter them in the Beis HaMikdash. But I need another pasuk to tell me that if they were shechted b'chutz, and they were meant therefore to be muktarei chutz, and they were chaser then, and they were brought up b'chutz, that even then the halacha would be that you're chayev partially. So in other words, if I only had one, I would say, okay, if I don't have a carbon sholem, and I also have a carbon that was always pasul because it was brought b'chutz, that I could understand that I wouldn't be chayev unless at least it's whole, whatever whole means. But if it started off okay and it was even shechted in the oil mayit, so then that would be sufficient to be machayev b'chutz, even if it's only chaser, kamash malan. In either case, you are putter unless it was shalem. And by the way, I'm not making this up. Take a look at the Braita, and you'll see that's exactly what Rabbi Shmuel says. V'atanya, this is what it says from the Braita. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, you might have thought that if it was mekutarei pnim shechasru, and then you were hell on b'chutz, you would be chayev, because at least over there, it was a full-scale roi lepesach ha'amayit when you shechted it bifnim. So the fact that it was chaser and it wasn't shalem shouldn't matter. Therefore, I need to have this additional pasuk from which Rabbi Akiva had learned the entire halacha, and that is, it says, lasot oto, to teach me ala shalem chayav, veino chayav ala chaser. And, as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, so how does he know this din of Rabbi Yishmael, and that she would be actually putter even on mekutarei pnim that were chasru? Where does he know it from? Ha-ha, he doesn't. That's the pshat. Since Rabbi Akiva argues, and he holds that mekutarei pnim, that were chasru v'hel on b'chutz should actually be chayev, that explains the whole machlokas, because now when we add up all the psukim, it turns out that Rabbi Akiva has got this additional pasuk of the lasot oto. Now that causes a cascade all the way back up to having the extra pasuk, and therefore he was able to learn it out from the din of just the pasuk of zevach, as opposed to the special pasuk, which was shvicha, from which Rabbi Shmuel learned out the din of Zrikas Dam. Okay. So now, that means Rabbi Shmuel, still, he had that extra pasuk, and Rabbi Akiva never learned it from that pasuk, namely, the Dam Yechashev Le'ishahu Dam Shafach. Rabbi Akiva, remember, learned out the same halacha of the Chiyev and Zrikas Dam from Ozovach. And then we saw the cascade effect of how it is that that goes all the way through all of the Limudim. But we never explained what exactly does Rabbi Akiva do with that original pasuk. How about the Dam Yechashev? Says Rabbi Akiva, a completely new din, that he learns from Dam Yechashev to tell me that even if you, this is wild, if you do the shechita of an oaf, b'chutz, that you would be chayim. Now this, you must admit, is like, wow, okay. I mean, malika of an oaf, bifnim, is the only thing that's makshir. So a shchita of bifnim would pasul it. So now if I go ahead and I do a shchitas oaf, it says the same idea of asher yishchat, doesn't it? And it says asher yishchat ola ozevach dam shafach dam, this dam shafach ha'isha, who is coming to tell me the dam yechashev, to add the shechita of a bird, not the malika of a bird. So that's a remarkable chiddush, because I would have thought the concept of shechita only applies to the shor chesed ve'ez, which is the way the pasuk begins. The shor chesed ve'ez, asher yishachet. That is either b'machana or michutz l'machana. But how would I think the shechita of an oaf? That's the idea, any kind of carbon at all. And Rabbi Yishmael, how does he learn that? He says, well, I mean, remember that it says that Lashon of Asher Yishchat twice. It says, Ish Ish we Beit Yisrael, Asher Yishchat Shor O Chesev O Eiz Ba Machane, O Asher Yishchat Michutz La Machane. So the O comes to tell me, it could have simply said, Bamachana umichutz lamachana. If you say O, it's coming to add now a completely new category. That completely new category would be a reference to shchita of an oath. Without that extra O, I wouldn't have the slightest idea that such a thing is possible. So why couldn't Rabbi Akiva learn it from there? And that would mean that the Dam Yechashev, he still doesn't have a way to explain with the entire approach that he's learning. And that means that there might be something very wrong with Rabbi Akiva's belief that you would be chayev on a carbon that was chaser if it was mushkat, if it was a muktar pnim, so it was shochut pifnim, then it was chaser brought pachutz. Aliba to Rabbi Akiva, you're chayev on that case. But since that leaves Rabbi Akiva with the pasuk of Dam Yechashev without an explanation, you know what this is like. You took apart that little clock that Grandpa gave you, and you put it all back together again. But there's just this one little gear that, like, doesn't seem to fit anywhere. And you're wondering why that clock isn't working anymore. So Rabbi Akiva's got the same problem over here. He added up all the psukim, but the Dam Yechashev doesn't have any impact, which means that perhaps it's really Rabbi Shmuel's approach that is correct, and he knew where everything fits, right? So where, I still need to know, what does he do with that original pasuk then? Because if he's got the O Asher Yishchat to tell me the din that he thought was he needed from Dam Shafach, namely that you're chayev on an oaf, why didn't Rabbi Akiva learn it from O Asher Yishchat? Got to keep all of these drushes in mind now. It's wonderful how we need to account for every single element that we can be darish. Well, Rabbi Akiva says, that pasuk, O Asher Yishchat, I need that. Because if it wouldn't have said O Asher Yishchat, to separate out specifically shchita, so then I would have thought that you'd be chayev only on It actually comes to tell me that I would have thought that you'd be chayev on whatever it is that's matir, the of bifnim. But it comes to tell me, no, the only option is that you're chayev al hashchita and you're not chayev al hamalika, even though the way that you would normally be able to be matir and of for the mizbeah, which would be malika. If I did that b'chutz, I would think that if you did Malika Bachutz, then you're doing what was Roy LePesach HaOmoed Bifnim Bachutz, Kamash Malan. You've got no options here. There's the single option of O in the same context of the list of Nishchotim, Shor, Kesev, Va'ez, O, Of. Otherwise, I would say, okay, obviously the Shir Yishchat is not the thing that's applicable mainly to the Of. So how does Rabbi Shmuel know that? Rabbi Shmuel says, well, look at the entire introduction to the pasuk. What does it say? It uses the words ze hadavar, specifically this, daber al aron vel banav vel kol bnei Yisrael. Now note the pasuk, because we're going to be using it in a moment. Aron uvanav vel kol bnei Yisrael, v'amartar layem ze hadavar asher tziva Hashem. So ze hadavar always means this, and precisely this. So I don't need to exclude Malika if the only word that is used throughout the entire discussion is Shchita, do I? I mean, obviously, it means exactly what it says. So the Zeh HaDavar would mean that Rabbi Akiva has no need to actually tell me Ala Shochetu Chayav Lo Ala Molek from O, and we're going to be left, therefore, with the problem of Rabbi Akiva, which we'll get to in a moment. But let me show you that this is the real story, and that Rabbi Yishmael absolutely learns out Zeh HaDavar to mean Davka Shchita V'lo Malika, the Tanya. Asher Yishchat, En Li Ela Shochet Behima. I would have thought if it says Asher Yishchat, and it says Shor Chesiv Ha'ez, lest I heard, they don't fly, and therefore neither should a bird fly in this sugya. How do I know that a shochet be'of is the same? Ein li ela shochet behima, shochet of minolan, Talmud lomar, asher yishchat. So that adds the din of, as we said before, o asher yishchat. You might think malika, and obviously isn't it a kal v'chomer? I mean, look, if you're chayev over here on shchita, Shechita is not the way that a bird is kosher bifnim. And it's not what would be the opetach or moed lo yevienu, right? Because I don't do it that way. It would be possible if I shechted a bird bifnim. So even so, that it's ein derech hechsher bifnim, it's still chayev if you do it b'chutz. So if you did the correct way of being matir at bifnim, which is malika, which is the derech hechsher bifnim, ein odin shul chayav, obviously in that case you would be chayev, no? No, says the Torah, Talmud Leimar, ze adavar. So clearly Rabbi Yishmael, his entire limud is fundamentally from that ze adavar. So we're certainly right. I just want to keep checking with these brises to make sure that it really is accurate and authentic in the understanding of Rabbi Yishmael. It's not just that we happen to be fitting Rabbi Yishmael's shita into the psukim. It's that Rabbi Yishmael, lichatchila, this is the way that he learned it. So now getting back to Rabbi Akiva. So then why would Rabbi Akiva not learn it out from Zeha Davala? This is one of the very important inyanim that have intense implications for the whole concept of Zeha Davar, which we have been making over the course of the years a great deal of, this concept of Zeha Davar. Especially remember the way that Chazal tell us that all the Nevi'im, nobody uses the word Zeha Davar. They talk about Ko Amar Hashem. It's only Moshe Rabbeinu that uses these words of Zeha Davar. And if that's the case, then we need to understand what it means. So generally speaking, Zeha Davar means that even when you're dealing with something that is not absolutely true, meaning it's something that you're doing on your own, and or it's come up, then Moshe Rabbeinu deals with it within the context of Torah, as Zeha Davar. Now, if that's the case, then this is a very important word. Why are we talking about Zeha Davar b'Shkutei Chutz? Exactly because it is the same idea of creating your own reality. Wherever we talk about Zeha Davar, it's creating your own reality. If we're dealing, therefore, with the idea of bringing a korban b'chutz when there's a Beis HaMikdash, it is a classic Zeha Davar. This guy's out of his mind. Like, all right, he's got a new world. So in his new world, he's going to be bringing a korban b'chutz. That word Zeha Davar appears also, of course, in the ultimate case of creating your own reality, which is what? Nedarim. And the Zeha Davar that appears by Nedarim, where you're adding a mitzvah to the Torah, basically, of your own kind of thinking, that Zeha Davar is where I know that I'm able to be matir a neder. So I need, says Rabbi Akiva, the Zeha Davar that appears here and in Heter Nedarim to tell me a special halacha that is learned from the Gzera Shava of Zeha Davar here to Zeha Davar there. Now note that over here, what does it say? Zeha Davar Shetziva Hashem to whom? Well, it says, to Aaron, Ubanav, and to Kol B'nai Yisrael. Over there, when it says by Nedarim Zeha Davar, what does it say? To whom does it say it? L'roshe HaMatot. That's the opening of Parshat Matot. It's from over there that Roshe HaMatot, we learn out that there's a halacha, that a yochid mumcha, all on his own, if he's a yochid mumcha to Nedarim, then he can actually give you a heter Nedarim all on his own. How do I know in the pasuk that even a regular bezdin of three simple people can do heter nedarim? That I learn out from the hekesh. Here it says l'chol b'nei Yisrael, which means that it's not something that's limited to arayin uvanav and to people who are mumchim. And there it says zeh davar in both of these cases. So that means that the Kol B'nai Yisrael is applicable here too. Anybody, if you have three regular people, you can be Mater Neder. We learned that out from Zeha Davar, according to Rabbi Akiva. Wow. Okay, so now everything basically adds up in how Rabbi Akiva uses his psukim. Now, I got another question. I mean, once we're looking for a mukar for all of the various halachas that were, even the ones that we haven't learned yet, later on we're also going to learn that somebody who does kmitza b'chutz on a mincha, or he's just mekabel the dam b'chutz, but he doesn't do the zrika, he is putter. That it says later on in a Mishnah. And how do we know that these psukim that were marba zrika are not marba all the avodas, even including kmitza and kabbalas hadam? Hold on a minute. But what do you mean, how do I know that somebody who does Kmitza is Potter? Where the heck would you think that somebody who does Kmitza is Chayev? I mean, first tell me, Mehechateta the Chayev. Where should I think that the person would be Chayev that I can now worry about how do I know he's Potter? I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to do the classic thing, which is that Kmitza to a Mincha is the equivalent of Shchita to a Zevach? Is that what you're going to tell me? And therefore, I would say that just like you're Chayev on Shchita B'chutz, you're Chayev on Kmitza B'chutz? That wouldn't stand. Because I would tell you right off the bat, if you're going to try to learn it from Shchita, Teite Mishchita, Mal Shchita, Shekein, Posalat Shalala Ochlin B'Pesach. There's a very unique din in Shchita, and it's only the din in Shchita. If you shechted for someone who is incapable of eating, the person is ill, or is too old to be able to eat, since it says ish lefi achlo tochosu, the word kos means to cut, to do the shchita. So that's a special din in the shchita, which is not true about any dinim of Kmitza or Kabbalah or Zrika, and therefore you cannot learn that Shchita Schutz is Chayev, and therefore Kmitza Schutz should be Chayev because Shchita is more Chomer. So forget about that. Should I learn it out from the fact that you're Chayev on Zrika B'chutz? No, because if you do Zrika by a Zar, the Zar would be Chayev Misibi De Shamayim, and that's certainly not true if he does Kabbalah, or if he does Kmitza, because remember the halacha, the general rule is, you are only chayev misa on aveda of a zar, if it's avodat tama. We learned that out of the pasuk, that it's the avodat matana, and we learn out from there that it has to be a complete aveda. In this case, if I do the kmitza, is that a complete aveda? Absolutely not. Kmitza is totally meaningless unless I take that kometz and put it on a mizbeach. Same thing is true about Kabbalah. If I take the do a Kabbalah, did I do an avodah tama? No, because I still need to do the zrika. So obviously I can't learn out kmitza, which is the middle of nowhere, from zrika, which is the final aveda of the dam, which would be b'chayiv of the zar. Now, maybe you'll tell me, okay, so let me make a ma'amatzinu and combine the din of Shchita Schutz with Zrika Schutz, and I'll say, look, there's a tzadar shoveh. What are you going to tell me? Ma'le Shchita, that it's only kosher if it's done for Eichlov B'Pesach, Zrika Yochiyach. Ma'le Zrika, that the Zar is Chayav Alav, Shchita Yochiyach. No, you can't do that either. Because if that's the case, that you would be able to learn out the din of a chiyav of aveda michutz lebeis hamigdash from a common denominator of a ma'amatzinu, then why did the Torah tell me bichlal the din of zrika of the dam b'chutz? We just spent so much time trying to figure out how we know according to Rabbi Shmuel and how we know according to Rabbi Akiva that there's a din of chiyav on zrika. What do I need that pasuk for? Lo yamer bezrika. Jonathan, I see you're starting off the day already fasting. You look like your head is killing you. What's going on? We've got a long day ahead of us. So, the Torah could have left out Zrika, and now I would have said, well, if Shchita Schutz is Chayev, and Halah Schutz is Chayev, then I would be able to actually say, let me learn out the din of Zrika from Shchita. No, I would say, okay, let me learn it out of halah schutz. No, halah schutz is because the concept of halah is true even on a mincha, not only on a behema. Mashenke zrika is unique to behemas. And nonetheless, I could still say, but why can't I put the two together? Since they're all Avedas, so I would say, they're both types of Aveda, and it's B'chayev, somebody who does it B'chutz, Afani of Izrika, that you're Chayev B'chutz, and so on. So why then do I need a Pusik? Because that was the whole point. The Torah wrote the Pusik to teach me not to learn it out of the Selimut of a Ma'atzad, to teach me L'meimah D'lo Ata Be'naya. So you cannot therefore, do the same thing for Kmita. You can't learn Zrika from a combination, and you can't learn Kmita from a combination. So if that's the case, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that it's not chayiv if I would have absolutely no basis in the world to tell me that it is chayiv? And therefore, your point of, well, how do we know that you're poter on Kmita, as it says in the Mishnah, ended up being a meaningless question. The reason that the Mishnah tells me is that you're poter is because there's no reason to say that you're chayiv, which, of course, has opened the door to us to understanding that avedas mi beinayu are never included. Okay, now, it turns out that there should be a tremendous nafka mina between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. It all sounds very theoretical. Do I learn it out from Dam Shafach, or do I learn it out from Ozevach? It makes big difference, says Rabbi Abo, because, look, consider this. Let's say somebody does both a Shechita Chutz LeMikdash and a Zrika Chutz LeMikdash, and he does it B'Shogeg, and he does it B'Her LeMechad, he forgot it was Chutz LeMikdash, what? Now, according to Rabbi Yishmael, he only was over on one of the Surah Kores and one of the Lavim, therefore, that would be Mechayevim Achatas. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yishmael, it was Ish Ish Asher Yishchat Dam Shafach, right? So if that's the case, it's all basically part of Shechita, and you can only be Mechayevim one Chatas on those two acts. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva learned it out from Asher Yale Ola O Zavach. That's part of the din of Halah. In which case, if you did a Shechita B'chutz and a Zrika B'chutz, then you did a variant of Halah B'chutz together with Shechita. And we already learned out that you're chayav two separate Chataot, because these are two separate Kritot and two separate Azarot, right? So that turns out to mean that according to Rabbi Shmuel, you'd be chayav only one Chatas. According to Rabbi Akiva, you'd be chayav two Chataot for exactly the same thing. Says Abaye, no, I don't think you're right. I think even according to Rabbi Akiva, despite the fact that they're being learnt from the two different contexts, Eino chayev ela achas, you'd only be chayev once. Why? Because since it said in the pasuk, Shom ta'ase, there it says at the end of this, of course, is back in Re'e. So it says, Ki im b'makom asher yivchar Hashem b'echad shvatecha, shom ta'ale v'shom ta'ase. What does that mean, shom ta'ale v'shom ta'ase? That putting everything into one idea, besides halal, there's only one idea of everything that you do, that tells me, akatuv asa'an kukulan avodah achat. So now that means I have a single set of anything but Hala. Okay, that includes Shechita, Zrika, and therefore if the Zrika is done together with that Shechita, it doesn't matter what the technical basis is of the Pasuk and the Kares. What does matter is that the Torah went out of its way to tell you that there's only one set of items other than Hala, and that set includes anything, including the Zrika's Hadam, including the Shechita, in any other issue that you will be marbe, that you're chayev b'chutz. Okay, now getting, this is Abaye's opinion, but we're in the middle of understanding Rabbi Abo. So Rabbi Abo started saying that according to Rabbi Shmuel, you'd only be chayev one, according to Rabbi Akiva, you'd be chayev two, and now continues Rabbi Abo, and the inverse is also true. Suppose you did Zrika and Halah, not Zrika and Shechita. So then, if you did Zrika and Halah, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you're chayev two. Why? Because remember, according to Rabbi Yishmael, the Zrika was learned as a subcategory of Asher Yishchat Dam. It's the Dam Shafach over there. That person is chayev you even. That means even on his Zrika. Mashane, according to Rabbi Akiva, who learned it out from Asher Yale Olav Zevach, it's a subcategory of Ha'alot. And therefore, Eino Chayav Ela Achat, right? So that's Rabbi Abo's thesis. Abaya argues on both parts of that thesis. He interrupted Rabbi Avoh to say, the Shamta Alev, the Shamta Aseh, tells me that even Aliba to Rabbi Akiva, you would only be chayav one. And here, Abaya says just the opposite. Even according to Rabbi Akiva, you'd be chayav two, because that's another implication of the pasuk of Shamta Alev, Shamta Aseh. The very fact that the Torah makes two sets of inyanim, Halah and everything else, means that whatever the mocker is in terms of the pasuk of the Azara and the Kritut, it doesn't make any difference to me. There are two sets of Chiyuvim, one for Halah and one for everything else, which means even according to Rabbi Akiva, where you think this is a subsection of Halah and therefore it only be Chayev you one, you're Chayev twice, because you were involved in the Asiyah of a Halah and the Asiyah of a Zrika. Wow. Okay, now, Rabbi Avoh is going to finish what he started off saying. If you did Shechita and Zrika and Halah, then everybody agrees that you're Chayev Shtayim, and that, of course, moots Abaya's point of Shamta Aseh and the Shamta Lev and Shamta Aseh, because indeed over here, no matter how you look at it, the Torah split the sets. The Torah split the Kritut, and the Torah split the Azorais, no matter whether you're going according to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva or you're going according to the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel, you were for sure in these three things, you were over on those two things. Okay, that's remarkable. So what we thought was a purely theoretical question turns out to make nafka mina is la halacha according to Rabbi Avoh. Now, let's get to the question of what we mean by chutz, whether it's shchitas chutz or halas chutz. Chutz from what? So, Tana Rabbanan, let's take a look at that pasuk. You must admit it's a bit confusing. When you first read it, you like shake your head. What? Ish ish mi beit Yisrael, asher yishchat shor o chesev o eiz b'machane, o asher yishchat mi chutz l'machane. Well, what do you mean? If I can't shecht in the machaneh and I can't shecht chutz the machaneh, where the heck can I shecht? Like, that's your first reaction. What? What does that mean? Now, obviously, since we know that there are two machanot that are going to be problematic, and there's also one non-machaneh that's going to be problematic, so all in all, we've got four separate locations that we have to take into consideration, right? Inside the Azorah. Now that, of course, is the Petach Lamoed. And then we've got the Machane Levia, which in terms of the Beis HaMikdash is the Har HaBayit. And then we have, besides the Machane Shechina, Machane Levia, we have the Machane Yisrael, which in terms of the Beit HaMikdash is Yerushalayim. And then we have totally Mechutz Machane, which is Chutz L'Sholosh Machaneis. Now, the Pasuk has told me whether it's in the Machane or it's out of the Machane. But which Machane is the question? And that requires us to analyze how this Pasuk is generally used, those words. So, it might mean, you would have thought, that perhaps you would think that a Kohen would be more makbir on a Sar HaBeteves and would be sensitive to the breakdown of Yerushalayim, but Reb Barnea never forgets the genie in the bottle. You see? So it was just an old habit. It had nothing to do with a concern for making sure that I drink. It really is about rubbing the magic lantern. Now that we have proof, maybe we can elicit a change in behavior.
Rebbe's making a tempest out of a teapot.
All right. And there are some among us who are a bit too young to worry about it. And you'll notice that Ori seems to be enjoying her breakfast. And it's making Jonathan very nervous, but he'll look at one of the other screens. So, what have we got over here? What does that machana mean? Now, there's another thing that comes to mind. Maybe we actually have five machanot, you know? I mean, since we know that you have to do your shchita in the tzofein, if you're talking about kachim, maybe that doraim is another machana. So let's take all of that into consideration. Yachol ashochet ola bidorom yechayav. You might think that just shechting a thing in the wrong place. I have a year I'm shechting this ola very much in the wrong place if I go into the dona. Am I chayav if I do that? You might think so. Talmud Omar, michutz l'machane. No. It has to be actually outside of the machane completely, not just in the dorim. Okay, now, if it says chutz l'machane, you might think, imichutz l'machane, that means totally outside of Yerushalayim, and that's the only chiyuv. But if I went ahead and I shecht it outside of the Azara, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, I shechted in the Harabayit, I shechted in Machane Yisroel, which is Yerushalayim, maybe I would not be chayev. How do I know that even if I shechted in the Machane Leviyah, right outside of the Chomata Azara, how do I know that I would be chayev? Talmud Lomar, Ba Machane. It means, no. First it said, Asher Yishrat Ba Machane. That means even if you are in the Machane, you're going to be chayev. I don't even chutz l'machane. Ah, wait a minute. So then let me go back to what you said before. Even in the machane? You mean, even if I'm in the Azara? Even if I'm in the machane Shechina? You said either way. Either totally out or totally in. So how could I be chayev if I'm totally in? By shechting in Oila Bedorim. Because I'm shechting in the wrong place. And you might think that shechting in the wrong place is enough to be mechayev you. No, it can't mean that. Talmud Lomar Asher Yishchat Michutz LaMachane. Look, I mean, it's obviously not in the Machane. We're talking about something that is similar to both being in the Machane and out of the Machane. Now, what exactly would be similar to that? It's got to be something that is in and of itself a Machane of sorts, not just a question of whether it's Betzofen or Bedorim, right? Okay, so then for sure, it's Miyuchad. In that case, that it can't be a question of a specific place for one type of carbon or another. Why? Because, look, chutz l'machana means totally not roi for the shechita of any carbon whatsoever. So just like chutz l'machana means eino roi l'shechitas kol zeva, Av ba machane means she'eino roi l'shechitas kol zevach. So it can't mean I'm going to be mechayev you if you go into the Dorim when you were supposed to be shochet b'tzofen, because the Dorim is kosher for most of the zvachim that are brought, because it's kosher for kachim kalim. And therefore, av pi she'eino roi l'shechitas kachim kachim, it certainly is roi l'shechitas kachim kalim. Now, says Ula, if that's the case, then what about somebody who would be shochet on top of the heichal, right? Now, the top of the heichal is not the place that the Torah allowed you to be shochet. But if that would be the case, can you be shecht any carbon on top of the heichal? No. But are you betoch hamachane? Yes. So the way that you were just medayek, says Ula, you're telling me that the only type of machane that's excluded is a machane that is not roi for anything, even if it would be technically in a machane. Okay, I got a great example for you. Not Dorim, you're right. Not Dorim, because Dorim is good for kachet kalim. But how about if you climb up to the roof of the heichal, you're still in the machane, but after all, it says, Asher Yishchat ba machane. And you said, as long as it's not roi for any carbon, that is included in the machane. So I want to tell you, based on your drasha, if somebody shechts on the roof of the heichal, they are going to be chayev kores. Ha! Oravena roi l'shitas kol zevach. Matkifla ravena. Wait, hold on a minute. If that were really true, that you'd be chayev for the shechita on even in the machane, on the top of the heichal, so then why did the Pasuk have to tell me ve'al petach ol moed lo evio? I mean, that doesn't add anything. Let's say that the Pasuk had only said, isha sheyishchat b'machane o michutz l'machane. Okay? And it didn't say, ul petach ol moed lo evio. I mean, don't write el petach ol moed. It doesn't add a darn thing, el petach ol moed over here, because we're only talking about shechita in that Pasuk of el petach ol moed. So then, what does it add? I'm telling you what it adds. It adds to be Mamayat the Gog. So since it's telling me you didn't bring it to Petach Olamoed, that means it's not brought inside the Azara. But once I brought it inside the Azara, it obviously is not going to be Mechayev Mikaras if I go up to the roof, because I went in and I brought it up Petach Olamoed. So therefore, that tells me that you're not Chayev Hashkut Echutz on the roof, like Ula says. So, okay, Rava, if you think that El Petach O'Moed tells me that, so then just write El Petach O'Moed, which would tell me that you'd be chayev anywhere, in any machane, as long as it's not in the Azara, and you wouldn't need this in the way, which is a big discussion. Be quiet. Tell me, Isha Sher Yishchat V'El Petach O'Moed Lo Yaviyanu. How about that? And now I know any place that is outside of the Azara, that is a heck of a lot more efficient than driving us crazy by telling us, I don't care if it's in the Machana, I don't care if it's chutz the Machana, and then we have to start looking at which Machana, compare the Machanas, find the common denominator, discuss the question of Doraim. So the whole thing could be avoided by the simple learning from El Petach O'Moed, which according to you, Rava, would be enough to teach me everything. What do I need this b'machana for? What do I need this b'machana for? So there, if they're saying it that way, then it's coming to tell me, do not learn from El Petach O'Moed to be m'mayit the Gog, but rather say what Ula said, that you would be m'chayiv the Gog. Lav la tuye Gog. Otherwise, there'd be no point in it at all. So that would mean that it can't mean that you're not chayiv anywhere. Okay, so then we're going to be using it for something else. Okay, fine. We could use it. There are things that we end up using it for. I mean, let me ask you something. Would you be chayev for shechting a paraduma if you brought it in the wrong place? Would you be chayev if somebody gave a behemoth to the Berak HaBayit and I do shchitas chutz? Would I be chayev? That's the point. It has to be roy for the Petach O'Moed. And if it's not something that was meant to be brought to Petach O'Moed, it's not coming to tell me the mokheim. It's coming to tell me the type of thing which is meant to be in the O'Moed. That's the point. Wow. That's a pretty beautiful point that we're bringing over here. That would mean that if Rav Mori is right, and then Rava, what Rava said, I mean, seems to be absolutely wrong. Wow. So, I'm saying, I'm still moving on. What the Gemara is saying would mean that Rava is completely wrong. So Rav Mori says, I can explain Rava. Because what I can say is that the extra psukim are not necessarily there to tell me that the Gog HaHeichal is considered to be a makom. It's rather coming to tell me a different thing. What about if the animal, this is an amazing case, huh? The animal is inside of the Azara, but its neck is outside of the Azara, and you do the Shechita outside of the Azara, where technically the animal is Bifnim. How about that case? So that would mean El Petach O'Moed. So therefore, even if Rava is right, and that means that El Petach O'Moed itself comes to tell me that it's anything at all that is in Petach O'Moed, as opposed to being mechayev me for shechting on top of the heichal. But I would still need b'machane to tell me that you would be chayev for the shechita of a behemah that is in the machane, even though it was in the Petach O'Moed. Because I would think, well, I mean, it was brought to Petach O'Moed. The fact that its neck was outside and I shechted it outside shouldn't matter. But since it says b'machaneh, that's coming to tell me that b'davka, it would still be, even though it is Petach O'Moed, but it is still not b'machaneh. And since that would mean to tell me that even, I would think, if that's the case, if it's partially in the machane, then that would include Doraim. No, that's why it says a Petach O'Moed. It doesn't mean Doraim. Okay, so everything could still fit, you know? Says the Gemara, well, I don't understand. Isn't it obvious that we would go according to the, where the neck is, that I need a special pasuk to tell me that where the neck is significant in terms of the halacha? Tzavara b'chutz, isn't that obvious? I mean, the whole thing that the Torah is teaching us is where to do shechita. So on my kopid rachmana, a shechita. I mean, if the shechita is b'chutz, why do I need to look at the where the animal is if the shechita is outside? Okay, fine. So then let's take the opposite case. How about a case where the animal is b'chutz and the neck is bifnim? And I would say, since you're doing the shechita inside of the actual azara, so I brought it, al petach ohel moed. That's why I need the pasuk to tell me, yes, but it's not b'machana, is it? The behemoth is not b'machana. Therefore, I need that pasuk also. I'm wondering how far we should go. Yeah, I think we have to do the next piece as well, because really we can be kill of the whole piece. And this is something that is Nagea Dafka Hayom. It's a good thing to learn today. And we've had it so many times before that I think we can do it rapidly. Itmar. Somebody who brings a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash today. When I say outside Beis HaMikdash, I mean outside of the place of the Beit HaMikdash. So somebody shechts in a makom that was not the area of the Beit HaMikdash, Hayom Hazeh. What's the din today? Rabbi Yochanan says, you're chayev. Rish Lakish says, you're potter. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you're chayev because the original Kedusha of Yerushalayim to make the makom HaMikdash unique, and therefore, ki imel ha-makom asher yivchar Hashem lokecha mikol shvatecha, is still true today. If you don't bring your carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, you bring the carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash, then you are chayev. Because Kedusha Rishana, Kitchala Sha'ata, V'Kitchala Atidlavo. You would be chayev even today, literally, because the Beis HaMikdash is still there, even though you don't see it. Whereas Rish Lakish says, no. Once the Kedusha became, the Beis HaMikdash became destroyed, the Kedusha is no longer there. And therefore, you can't say bringing it outside of the Beis HaMikdash is chayev. What Beit HaMikdash? So Rish Lakish says, you're potter, because the Kedusha Rishona was only Kodesh so long as the Beis HaMikdash existed. But lo kitcha latid lavo. Oh, is that the famous Machlokas Tanoim between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua? And would, in fact, Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan be arguing in a famous Machlokas Tanoim? That's hard to believe. But after all, if you take a look at the Mishnah that we've discussed so many times, the Mishnah itself is an idiot. But remember how many times we've had this sugya. And in that Mishnah, we talk about how was the building of the second Beis HaMikdash achieved. After all, they're going to walk into the place where the Beis HaMikdash was, and they're going to rebuild these walls, and they're going to start bringing karbanas. But how exactly did they build it, and when did they start bringing the karbanas? So says Rabbi Eliezer, well, they had to build the walls. This is what it seems like he's saying. So kishayu bonim be'echal, when it was time to rebuild the actual binyan, as opposed to the walls around the Chotzer, which is the Azara. So when they were building the actual walls of the new Beis HaMikdash, they did not want to stand inside of the Heichal to build. So what did they do? They put up curtains, like in the time of the Mishkan, around the area where that Heichal was. That, now again, what I'm telling you now is what we're assuming all of this means. Putting up those curtains was sufficient to reestablish the mechitzas, at which point it became Kodesh as a bayit. And now, to finish the work, we need to put up the stones, but we don't want to walk into the bayit to put up the stones, because you're not allowed to casually walk into the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So we built the walls around the curtains from the outside. When it came to the Azara, well, we needed to first establish the mechitzas in order for us to start bringing our karbanas. So we put up the curtains, like at the time in the Mishkan. And there, since we had no problem of standing inside the Azara, we built the walls on the inside. and facing the curtains from the inside instead of from the outside. So Behechal, they were also Kaloyim Behechal, and they did the Kaloyim Bazores. The difference is that in the Hechal, when they were Benin, they built around the curtains, and Beazora, they built within the curtains. Rabbi Yoshua says, I'll tell you what I heard. I heard that you didn't need any curtains. I heard you didn't need any building, and that you could bring the karbonot, shoyim akrivim afa pisha ein bayit, vochlim kachikachim in the azara afa pisha ein kilayim, and I heard that you can eat kachim kalim and maaser sheni, even though there was no chomat Yerushalayim. Basically, the original Kedusha remained, Mipnei Shekedusha Rishena of Yerushalayim and of the Beis HaMikdash and of the Azores was not only Kodesh for its time, but was Kodesh for all times, and therefore there was no real need at all to build anything in order to bring those korbanos. I mean, that's it sounds like we've got a machlokas over here about whether you need to rebuild in order to bring korbanos, or whether you can bring those korbanos because the Kedusha Rishona remains. Now, isn't that exactly what Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish were arguing about? Does the Kedusha Rishona remain bizman hazeh, and therefore it's mechayev you and shchut echutz bizman hazeh? Beautiful Gemara to learn today. No, Rabosai, both the Gabi Chomot Yerushalayim and the Gabi Chomot Beit HaMikdash. Because it's all, remember, the day is all about the Choma. So this was the siege around the Chomot. Wow. So apparently, Rebbe Eliezer holds Lo Kitcha, and Rebbe Yeshua holds Kain Kitcha. It's the same Achlokas. Omar Le Ravina Le Ravashin, excuse me, but you're jumping to conclusions over here that the way that you just explained it is correct. I don't, look, you know, because in your mind, you put together Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer as if they're arguing with each other. Who says they're arguing with each other? Bichlal. Each one of, this is Masechet Idiot, remember. Masechet Idiot, everybody came and they announced, this is what I was mekabel from my Rebbe. So maybe each one of them was saying a halacha that was irrelevant to the other person. Maybe everybody agrees. Kedusha Rishonis, Kichula Shaita, Kichula Tidlavo. They weren't arguing about whether Shamati, that you're Makrivin Afapisha Ein Bayit. Everybody agrees Makrivin Afapisha Ein Bayit. Maybe. So Marmar Dishmielei Kamar. So one is saying over, I heard that you could bring a carbon. The other one is saying, I heard that they put up curtains. Those two things are nothing to do with each other. They're just talking about what it is that was done. That's all. Mar mai de shmielei kamar. So if you'll ask me, ah, come on. I mean, so then why does Rebbe Eliezer say they put up curtains? Why do I need curtains? That's what bothers you. Why do you need curtains? V'chitema kla'im l'Rebbe Eliezer lamali? Litzni Yusa Bihama. What do you mean, why do you need curtains? You can ask me, why do you need walls around the bathroom? I mean, yeah, you're right. You don't need walls around the bathroom. There's certainly no din of Kedusha Samakan. You need walls around the bathroom for Tznias. So Alakas Kama Vakama, you need walls around the base. I mean, what, are you going to watch all, have everybody standing around and let the people, I mean, well, what is this, a stage? So of course they put up curtains, but did they put up curtains for Tznias? They didn't put up curtains to create the Kedusha. Therefore, the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish has nothing to do with this machlokas Tanoi. And it could very well be that everybody agrees that the Kedusha Rishona is Kachila Shabbava, in which case we'll have to find the mocker for those Amorayim holds that Lo Kachila Tidlava. Okay, gentlemen.